I want to begin this morning by asking the question that I asked the kids when they came up. What is so special about the wise men or the magi? In almost every nativity that we see set up, the manger and the shepherd, the sheep, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, usually we see the three wise men that we call them, the three magi. And we say, well, why are they there? What's so special about them? Why year after year do we put them up? What do they mean to us? What do they mean to the Christmas story? Well, the story about the Magi is in God's Word for a reason. It's not just a little tale that's told to make our Christmas just a little more sparkly or tingly or a little more special, because these three guys came a long distance to see Jesus and worship Jesus. Honestly, we don't really know how many that there were. Some scholars believe that there were a lot more, that they would have traveled with a large caravan of people because of the dangerous area that they were traveling through. We do know they came from the east, although we don't know the exact place that they came. Possibly they came from Babylon, or possibly they came from Assyria, or in what we know as Asia during that time. But we do know that they knew something about the King of Israel, because they came to King Herod, they came to Jerusalem. The reason they did that was because that's where they would have reason a new king would be born, in the capital city of Jerusalem. And as they came there and asked the question, where's the one who has been born King of the Jews? We're looking for him because we saw his star in the east, meaning when we were in the east, we saw his star there, and we have come to worship him. So we know that they knew something about this King of Israel being born. Possibly this happened when God's people were taken off into captivity by the Babylonians and by the Assyrians, when they were carried away into the Middle Eastern countries. Those people took the stories with them. They took the prophecies with them. And possibly the people in that area of Babylon or the Middle East heard the prophecies that there was going to be a Messiah born, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Possibly they heard it through the kids that were used in the king's court in the stories of the book of Daniel and the prophecies about God saving his people through the Messiah. But we do know they knew about this. They were what the Bible calls the Magi. From this Greek word, this Greek name for Magi, we get our word magic, or magical. These men were probably sorcerers. They could have practiced magic, but what they did primarily, they watched the stars. They were astrologers. And they believed in that day that special events in the heavens were ordained by the gods, so to speak. And that when they saw this star, this heavenly supernatural thing happening, they put two and two together and they realized something special had happened, and we want to go see this thing, and we want to worship this newborn king. These men were sorcerers. They were men that practiced magic and watched the stars. They were astrologers. They were actually practicing things which God forbids us to do. They were diviners. They were practicing divination. As I read this, I wondered to myself, I wonder if Harry Potter kneels at the name of Jesus and worships Jesus as Lord and King. We know that they were willing to go to great lengths to worship this new king. They were willing to go the distance, so to speak. Something drove them, deep inside them, to go these hundreds and hundreds of miles across barren land to see this thing that has happened, this newborn king. Something drove them, unlike anything else, to risk their lives for this. I was thinking of a distance runner. A distance runner knows they have to run a certain distance. And a lot of them will pace themselves until they come to the last mile, 2 miles, whatever, of the run, where they will all of a sudden use this stored up energy to go the extra mile, to run just a little bit harder in that last little bit so that they reach the goal. They're driven inside. And something like this was driving the Magi. It wasn't personal motivation. It was not personal reward. They came to worship this king. They came to offer their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the king. There was no personal motivation whatsoever. They did not come with the hope of receiving something for themselves. And it certainly wasn't because everyone else was doing it. It wasn't because the culture was flocking to Bethlehem to see the King of the Jews that was just born. It was not because of a certain holiday. Jesus had already been born, and again, scholars believed that it was 2 years after he had been born before they finally reached Bethlehem to see Jesus. They were motivated by faith. A faith that was fueled by the expectation of seeing the Savior King at the end of their journey. I want to say that again. They were fueled by a faith inside, by the expectation of seeing the Savior King at the end of their journey. Does that describe you at Christmas time? Are you fueled inside to celebrate Christmas? To go to great lengths to celebrate the holiday? Fueled and motivated inside by the expectation of seeing the Savior King at the end of it all? The amount of time and energy that they spent was enormous. It was incredible. It wasn't in putting up lights. It wasn't in the baking. It wasn't in the wrapping. It was in bringing news that the King of the Jews was born. Do we ever say that at Christmas time? Do we ever let it come out of our mouths when we're shopping, when we're having lunch with someone, when we're visiting someone? It was their motivation, and the time and energy that they spent was in bringing the news that the King of the Jews had been born and doing all in their power to present this king with their best, doing everything possible so that they could worship Jesus. And imagine the news they had when they went back to their countries, to the Middle East or wherever they had been from. We've seen him. We saw a star. We saw the proof. We've seen him. We were eyewitnesses. Wonderful evangelism taking place after that first Christmas. They overcame all the obstacles to make sure that Jesus was part of that celebration. How much of our own personal Christmas celebration is focused on Jesus? How much includes worshiping King Jesus? Is he even visible in our homes? Or do we hang the Santa on the door and place Jesus on some shelf back in the hallway or on a bookshelf somewhere in the back room? Sometimes we think people just know that we're Christians because we put up a tree, we go to church, we put up lights, and we give gifts. But I want you to think of something here. Think of the chief priests and the scribes. They had the right info in their minds, but they had the wrong response. They had the right info, but they had the wrong response. They were only 5 miles from the Messiah. 5 miles. They knew the prophecies. These men came and said, "We saw his star, he's been born, where is he?" 5 miles they were not willing to go to see him, to see for themselves, to even judge for themselves whether this was really true or not. They were not willing to go the extra miles. J.C. Ryle in his commentary says, "It's not always those who are most religious who honor Christ the most. You see, it was those who knew the facts, those who knew the stories, that would not go. And they were the ones eventually who would later see Jesus, but still would not believe." Riley says their heads were better, or maybe what he meant to say is they were bigger than their hearts. Matthew is implying here that those who are willing to go the distance will indeed see Jesus. And this is especially true at Christmas time. We need to make that special extra effort, go that extra mile to make sure that we know that everyone else around us knows that we're celebrating the birth of the King. That Jesus has come, and that's what we are celebrating. Not we, but me, personally. And not assume that they just know. Because many don't know. You folks would be surprised if you knew how few, how little the percentage is of Christians in the United States compared with Christians in other countries throughout the world, and how they celebrate Christmas. They celebrate life. They celebrate freedom in Christ. We put up the lights, we bake cookies, we send cards, we meet together, we worship together, and still, believe it or not, some people still just don't understand what it is all the hoopla is about. Although Christmas has many traditional practices, and it's fine that it does, we have reminders of what Jesus has, or what God has given us in Jesus Christ. It's not about the tradition at all. It is a holiday. Christmas is a holiday of faith and nothing else, or else it isn't really Christmas that we're celebrating. It's a celebration, a holiday of faith in which we remember that God was faithful in sending His Son Jesus. And John tells us, to those who receive Him, to those who believed in Him, God gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent or from a natural father, but born of God. Christmas is all about giving, going out of our way and giving to God. God gave Christ to us in the manger. The wise men, the magi, came from miles and miles and miles and sacrificed much to give back to the Savior King, give back to God, to give Him their best. That's what Christmas is about. That we go the distance for God in giving Him the glory, in giving Him the praise, in giving Him the thanks, in offering our best to Him in whatever way that might be. Calling someone, sending a card to someone, providing things for little children that are illegitimately born, that don't know a father or a mother, that don't know a family. For families who wonder whether they're going to even have a meal tomorrow, let alone on Christmas. There's so much need out there in the world. And God is saying, I've given you this great time. I've shown you that I've given to you. I've shown you what it means to go the extra mile, to give. And what a wonderful time it is to show what we believe in, who we believe in, by giving to others. And when we do, what a wonderful opportunity to say, the King is born, and He was born for you, and you, and you. I pray this Christmas that when you see the Nativity, every Nativity you see, that you will see more than just some statues or figures, that you'll be motivated by the hearts of those people that were part of that. That you won't let the Herods all around you ruin your Christmas. That you will still stay focused on the star. That the star will lead you back to Bethlehem. And that you'll be motivated to go out of your way to say, the King is born.